It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Thank you, big voice guy, the announcer of this crazy game we call Sports Time Out, and I'm so excited about this week. And here is why. It is one of the best times of the year for sports. There's some big sports stories we're going to talk about today that have to do with the return of Tom Brady to his old stomping grounds. We're going to talk about some controversy and some exciting things happening in soccer and, well, much, much more. But let me introduce you to my boys. We have with us the encyclopedia of all sports knowledge. It is Rich Hallstrom.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The encyclopedia.
That's right. We have with us Brent R. Baker.
Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have with us Garrick Peng.
Get ready to get...
Yeah, Garrick Peng, coach, pastor, chaplain, and oh so much more. We have with us the guy we refer to lovingly as the Wookiee of the Year.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
That's right. I don't know why we never get to see his face, but you can find Josh at Josh Reports Live. And then we have the author of this book, our own Matt Peel, Man of Steel.
The Man of Steel.
I am the knowledge and strength of 10,000 worlds and flesh and machine. I am becoming everything.
The Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, Matt Peel, and I am your humble host, Michelle Mendoza. Let's get into it. Woo! All right. Happy Rocktober, fellas. I mean, this time of the year, this is when sports rocks the hardest. For me. Just this Sunday, for example, my city boasted two professional soccer matches, our women's team, our MLS team, an NFL game, a Major League Baseball game, and the first NHL preseason game, and by the way, inaugural match for the Seattle Kraken. That is five freaking major games, not to mention the night before some college ball. I am loving this time of the year, and I am loving my boys as we talk about it. Josh, I know you're excited about this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, this is... coming up, we're looking at one of the most exciting and probably most important weekends in Seattle sports history since the last time the Seahawks were going to the Super Bowl. You know, this is huge right now.
Yeah.
A big part of that is these Mariners. I mean, that's these Mariners now control their own destiny to go to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years. And
you know,
let me tell you one of the exciting things.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit because I know you're biting at the bit. Right. There's a reason why this is so exciting because it's the biggest underdog story. The longest dry spell in professional sports, and we're watching it play out like we might watch in a movie. But let's get to some other sports first, if you don't mind. Let's start with football because really heating up. I am so
interested.
What's that? What I do?
I mind.
We're minding the baseball weight.
I mind.
He needs to have his own show.
Seriously. I love it, but you got to put a restraint on the Wookiees sometimes.
20 years!
There's some interesting stories, but one of the biggest ones...
If it's been 20 years, it can wait another 3 minutes.
20 years. Yeah,
people are playing football, but for the first time in 20 years, no one cares about that this weekend.
Oh my gosh. All right. All right. All right. All right. You know what? I don't know what we're going to do with Josh unless we let him talk about it. I got the hat on. Garrick, you've got the background. Look, Major League Baseball, America's game, hot dogs, apple pie, all of that. It's all exciting, right? But it has been a 20-year dry spell for the Seattle Mariners. It just has been. And so I don't care who your team is, who you're rooting for, or if you don't even care for the sport. This is a big story, and it's almost the kind of story you would see in a Hollywood of sports film, right? So Josh has been our reporter following intensely the Seattle Mariners. And, you know, I can't hold restraint on him anymore. That's all. I'm sorry. We're letting the floodgates open. Josh, it is time for you to give us just a little bit of update on this. Oh my gosh. So exciting time. Take it on.
My, oh my.
My, oh my, yeah. I mean, we see Brent there. He's got the Believe sign. We've seen those all over the ballpark. And I got to tell you, first of all, you know, shout out to Root Sports for not making it easy for me to watch the game. But listening to the game.
It should be, actually, just to say, it should be on the regional MLB channel feed tonight. So
thank goodness for that. Because I got to tell you, though, listening to the game, like I've had it going on my phone, listening on the radio. Man, I haven't felt this energy coming from that ballpark in so long. And I was at the ballpark in 2001 when they lost that game on the BS ground rule double call to the Blue Jays. And I'm still mad about it 20 years later. But I haven't felt this energy at this park in that long. I mean, it's insane. And there was only not even half of the, I think it was a third of the total amount of people they can have in the stadium were there. And it felt electric, you know, and every at bat, the callers up there, Rick Riz, Dave Sims, they felt like they were going to lose their mind every at bat. There was so much excitement there, which is awesome in and of its own right. But yeah, this team is just now starting to get on the national level of getting a little bit of respect here, even though they've played the best or second best baseball of any team since the All-Star break. They have the best record. I can't remember right now if it's the best or second best since the break. They're on an absolute tear. And just like that sign says, it's about believing. We got a lot of guys that are leaning on each other. Tyler Anderson coming out. What a move. That was the first real playoff type move I've seen from these Mariners, where they say, you know what? Yusei doesn't have it. He's been struggling since the All-Star break. Tyler Anderson got shelled, but he only threw 50 pitches. So we're going to run him out on 2 days rest, see what he can give us. He gives you four innings of one run ball. Your bullpen takes you the rest of the way. And here we are after an off day, you gain ground and now you're tied for the second wild card spot. I mean, come on, man. This is great. Three games left against the Angels, who are down. Shohei shut down for the year. You're not going to see him. Probably a bullpen game that day. You have a real chance. And by the way, thank you, Orioles. I'm now an Orioles fan. I don't know about you guys, but go Orioles. I'm going to be rooting for them every year after this, you know, especially if the Mariners pull this off and make it. But one of the most exciting things, get out to the ballpark if you can, if there's still tickets, because in the hours after that last win, the Mariners said that they had a run on tickets and sold 30,000 tickets in the hours after that game. So we're going to see some electric ball, an electric field, the energy there. Jared Kelnick saying after the game too, you know, we love you guys. Thank you. Come out, support us. We want to be here. And remember, this is a group of kids coming up here, especially Jared Kelnick, Logan Gilbert, Kyle Raleigh, Abraham Toro, these young guys that have really been effective in this, you know, these last months, these are the future. And I know Toro wasn't here, but the rest of these guys, these are guys that are saying, we want to bring winning back to Seattle. This is our goal. This is what we want to do.
Well, at least for baseball, because Seattle is a pretty winning city. And, you know, Matt, you live about as far away as anyone from the Seattle area that's on the round table today. Even from far away, I'm hearing people saying, you know, this is a pretty exciting thing to watch. What are your thoughts?
It is exciting when you have such a drought like that. You know, when the Saints finally won their first game in the playoffs. I was there in the top row of the dome. And that was the best seat I could get when we had to call in for tickets. And we called in at 5 minutes right in the ability to get it and where to get in. So it's exciting when you have that much of a drought and the city is so much behind it. Everybody excited. Even if you're not a fan of baseball, you're just a fan of the excitement.
Gotta
so you get a hat, you get a t-shirt, and maybe you put something on your car. So it's pretty cool.
It is. It's going to be exciting to watch. Quick predictions, guys. Is this underdog team of 20 years worth of drought where the playoff is concerned? And as we've mentioned before, if you don't follow sports real closely, this is the longest drought of any major league team in any sport. Are they going to make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Yes. They're going to win all three, either be in a play-in game or win that wild card spot. So Boston, get ready to fly all the way to Seattle and play the Mariners.
That's going to be
some quick numbers, Michelle, to illustrate some of the things Josh was saying. Mariners 35-10 over the last 45 games.
Mm-hmm.
Marco Gonzalez 9-0. 2.60 ERA. Just goes to show you the rebuilding of the farm system into the number one farm system in baseball, and Jerry DePoto and Scott Service working together. Once again, Scott Service should be the manager of the year, hands down.
Reach.
Don't give me anybody else. I'll cut their hands off if you don't vote for Scott Service. He's earned it. 35-10. If 35-10 and winning the final three games of the season and making the playoffs doesn't give you manager of the year, what's the award for? Garrett?
Okay. You have heard it from the encyclopedia himself.
Well, I will tell you, I'd love to roll the tape from back in preseason when I was the only one on this broadcast who said the Mariners were going to make the playoffs this year.
You get some extra egg rolls, man.
Even Josh didn't say it? What?
I'm highly offended by that. That's
why. Awkward.
But I did predict that the Mariners, looking at just, I mean, everybody rightly so was concerned about our bullpen, but our bullpen has stepped up and they have really, and credit to
the
Mariners.
Best of baseball.
Yeah, and that's Jerry DePoto, because I mean these guys were non-roster invitees on minor league contracts. Seawald, Steckenrider, Sadler, those guys. It's that's been the difference, because I thought this was going to be a great growing year, but the bullpen we talked about being the last piece that you throw together on a contending team. Well,
they've got it together.
That's why
we could talk about this the whole show, guys, but let's just suffice it to say, hey, put your hands in the air.
Yankees and Red Sox, be looking over your shoulder.
That's right. Okay, moving right along, shall we? We're going to take on football, where another interesting story is really bubbling up. This story is dealing with the Patriots. And we've got old Tom going back to Foxborough as the drama heats up. The Brady plays the Pat in New England, deemed the grand return. Now, Brady and Belichick are both kind of downplaying this. Oh, yeah, it's just a game. But is it just a game? And what's it going to be like? And what are the fans going to do when they see their beloved Brady, now turn bad boy Buck, come on the field? I thought this would be interesting to talk about. But apparently
Belichick
not, because no one's saying anything. Hello, this is a sports talk show.
Belichick is going to wish 1,000 times more that Tom Brady was on his sideline after Sunday's game. He's gonna remember what a real quarterback looks like.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's huge. They're going to downplay it, of course, the media. But, inside, they're going to have butterflies. They're going to be nervous. And Gronk, too. It's not just like Tom Brady left and didn't do anything. He went left and won a freaking Super Bowl in his first year. So if that's not the middle finger back, I don't know what is. So there's definitely going to be some animosity, some talking, some nerves. It's going to be a fun time to watch.
I know, okay. It's interesting that this book about the Patriots organization came out this week. Where
very interesting.
We've got Robert Kraft talking about what a pain in the you-know-where that Belichick is, but look what he's brought your franchise. And then Brady, you know, it just – you bring all that together. I'm sure that there was some good marketing involved with that timing of that that release.
Yeah, you get that. You're an author. Guys,
Seth Wickersham likes that publicity there.
Rich, guys. Encyclopedia Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was back in 2002 when Drew Bledsoe lost his job to Tom Brady. And correct. He went to the Buffalo Bills. And in his first game back, he got his butt handed to him. It was like 38-7, and he got like 3 or 4 or 5 sacks. It was just crazy. So yeah, that had to be,
that
was, you know, it's not the first
was officially
crazy
the end of,
I couldn't hear you. What?
That was officially the end of Drew Bledsoe's career in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Bledsoe got hurt, and then they went to the Super Bowl, and Brady took over.
Yep.
And Bledsoe also got kind of wally pipped in Dallas too with Tony Romo, even though they haven't won a championship. But Romo basically. Bledsoe again got hurt, and Romo took his spot.
Yeah,
and I don't want to poo-poo on Bledsoe too much. I mean, that guy was tough. Let's not forget, like, he was dealing with stuff like a punctured lung came out. Then Tom Brady was playing. Tom Brady got hurt. He was like, "Yeah, I'll go in. It's fine." I mean, that guy was a competitor. That guy was tough. I really have a lot of respect for Drew Bledsoe.
Well, and there's a added Seattle twist now into the Bucs lineup.
That's right.
For those who affectionately remember Richard Sherman, because he's going to be joining the Bucs secondary. So that's going to be really
mad, bro.
No. Well, I would tell you that Seahawks probably could use a little bit of Richard Sherman right now in their secondary.
Yeah, we'll see if Richard Sherman today would be an improvement. Yeah. But the you know, Tampa has a way of, I mean, this is like the NFL's geriatric squad at this point, but they keep on winning, and we'll see how long they can stay healthy.
All you gotta do is roll them out there for, you know, a couple
age
plays,
before beauty.
That's all they need.
Well, you hit it on the head though, Brett. I don't know that Sherman is going to be a big impact right away. He said himself that he needs a week or two to get into football shape. We know he was dealing with some issues and a little bit of a mental health crisis earlier this year. And so
which
I don't think
he said,
keeping himself
Josh,
ready to go.
Comment on this too, Josh, which he said it really has inspired him to get his, I guess, act together. Excuse me while I paraphrase.
Yeah, no, I think that's great that's been an inspiration to him to get that going. And we know that life after football can be hard for a lot of players. We had Doug Baldwin raise the flag on opening day for us here at home, which is, you know, awesome. I love some angry Doug, but he talked about that, how he struggled with depression afterwards. I love if you guys haven't heard some of the interviews with him before the game. They did a pregame interview with him talking about raising the flag, and he's just so candid and open about everything going on and what that was. It was an awesome interview. I think Michael Bumpus is the one that was doing it, another former Hawk there, but he was saying, like, you know, he had a lot of depression afterwards, and it was really hard, and he had to find what was his worth after pouring his lifeblood into football. And we know a lot of people struggle with that in the league, and, you know, Richard Sherman as well. And so not a knock on him when I say that I think that he won't be effective immediately. You know, he had stuff to deal with, but he said himself he has a week or two to get into football shape. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully he can get there and stay healthy too, because when you are not in football shape, you're trying to get up to football shape and then play in the NFL. That's not easy, especially as you're getting a little longer in the tooth, like Richard Sherman's starting to do. I'm not saying he can't do it. Great competitor. He's got the mindset of a winner, but so we'll see.
Josh, that issue of pouring
Go
your
Mariners.
Life into football and then coming to another place in your life sometimes, that really does play into what we like to get into on the My Michelle Live podcast, is the God story.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, I think that you've seen other guys in the league that have found a lot of their identity more in Christ and in their faith. And I'm not saying they never struggle, but from what I've seen, they have a lot easier time transitioning.
Oh, that reminds me. You got to listen to the end. I have a great final shot. Go Mariners. What the heck? I have a great final shot.
Thanks for the Wally Pipp reference too, Matt. That was good.
Yeah. There you go.
You're welcome.
Josh, how much is Jerry DePoto paying you for every Mariner reference this week?
I'm paying him. Stay in Seattle, buddy.
They did ask for a pause at all non-baseball activities this weekend. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is a huge weekend in Seattle sports. We have the Seahawks, you know, with their season potentially in jeopardy if they don't win the next two games. You know, it's a real season changer for these next two division games.
What happened? Did I lose complete control? Are we back to baseball again?
Yes, you lost complete control.
That's happening. And people don't care because baseball's playing.
We also have
the Kraken playing two preseason games. They're getting ready to go. The opening game tickets, I was just talking to a friend of mine, you know, he got two tickets for, I think, $400 or something. They're selling for $5,000.
Yeah, they are.
There's a lot of excitement around, a lot going on in Seattle.
I've got tickets. I have got tickets. Yeah, that's really fun if we want to talk for a moment about hockey. The Kraken are the latest NHL team. They won their opening preseason game, and that was pretty exciting against the Canucks. And for people who live in that corner of the world, if you didn't have an NHL team for 100 or a professional team on that level for 100 years, you rooted for the Canucks. A lot of people did. So it was so interesting, so exciting to have their opening game against the Canucks, and the Kraken did win, which was exciting. Lost their next one, won their last. And it's fun to watch a new team hit the ice. It is pretty exciting. The Seattle Kraken, going to a sports town, their jersey broke records for their sell. So yeah, there are some exciting things going on. And down there in New Orleans, there's some interesting drama going on back to football. And well, beyond football, the future of the Saints and the Pelicans staying in New Orleans has been a source of debate. Isn't that right, Matt Peel?
Some. The Saints leave, then New Orleans floods underwater and goes the way of Atlantis. I mean, like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you got to think of any business. You got to have a succession plan. What's going to happen when, you know, the owner passes away? So kudos to them for figuring out, signing a long-term lease and keeping the team there. You know, Pelicans always will play a second fiddle until they start winning at playoffs consistently. But, you know, hey, great. We want them here. I'll be in the Dome on Sunday for the first game of post-Drew Brees era. So that'll be pretty exciting. And the new COVID restrictions, we'll see how that actually shakes itself down as we get in there. But it's exciting time for us, and it's good to know that our team will be around for a long time.
Yeah, well, speaking of having a good business model, I'm not so sure what's happening with women's soccer, but North Carolina Courage fired coach Paul Riley, and you know, he was a coach for the National Women's Soccer team, and the league canceled its weekend's five matches because of his sexual misconduct allegations. And it's not just because of the allegations, but also how the league handled it. Again, what's happening in the business office and how is it affecting the sport? Northwest Women's Soccer League Commissioner Lisa Baird said that it was incredibly traumatic. And so that incredible trauma, Garrick, is holding women's soccer matches from the whole weekend. Is that the right call?
In my opinion, I don't think so. And you need to obviously weigh up the impact on the current players and things like that. But at the same time, I feel like it draws too much attention to what he did.
It's been part of the allegations that it was swept under the rug.
Well, it needs to be brought to light, absolutely, and it needs to be dealt with. But I think the way to move, the way to help people heal is to keep moving. To just shut everything down, I feel like it gives him more glory than certainly he should have.
Maybe
I would have to agree with you in one other sense, Garrick. It also gives the NWSL another way to look like they're actually doing something when they may be not doing something. Hercules Gomez, who was on ESPN earlier this morning on Football Americas, said it was appalling and that Lisa Baird, the commissioner, should resign immediately. She's only had the job for a year, and just now they're putting in a service to put in anonymous tips about harassment and other things with the league. That is something that should have been in place even before Lisa Baird was the commissioner. The fact
that should have been
this
in place long before Paul Riley. It should have been in place. Yeah, of course.
These allegations have been over a decade long in different places, including Portland. And the Portland owner in the Athletic story that we are referencing said that allegations against Paul Riley were one of the factors in him being let go from the Portland Thorns. So now the question you have to ask the National Women's Soccer League, why was he able to go from the Portland Thorns job to ultimately the North Carolina Courage job, knowing that these things were out there and there is a track record? And this league is run in a lot of ways by predominantly women in positions where they are in leadership.
It's interesting that you mentioned that too, because the women's national team is coming under fire as of the last few weeks for their desire to have equality, and that equality really means we want more. We want more than men get. Is that reparations? What's going on there? So I think when you are the underdog, we've talked about underdog today, when you've had to, and women have had to fight a little bit harder to have a respected place in sports, when you've had to do that, you have to be above board. You have to be better. You have to be sharper. I know that from being in broadcasting. Guys, you all know my story. I got into talk radio when it was deemed the venue for angry white males. Well, I'm not angry white or male. And I had a lot of sexism. I had a lot of misogyny. I still have as of the last place that I worked. But in order to deal with that, I had to work harder, be better, and be sharper than my male counterparts. What did that do? It made me better, sharper, more respected. That's something that women need to learn in soccer. That's my girl opinion. Anyone want to challenge it?
You know, Michelle, the internet's never going to be a big thing. It's just a fad, so you don't need a website.
This is true. I wrote about that story in my book. You can find it. It's going to be released a little bit later, called Find Your Voice. But no kidding. I created my own website, and my program director patted me on the knee and said, well, that might be nice for sharing your little recipes with your girlfriends, but the internet and radio will never mix. Thank you very much. Yes, women have had to work harder, but it does make us better.
Internet killed the radio star.
Yeah.
You have to do it better. So let's go to men.
Brent. On this soccer league thing, I mean, there's so many tragic parts to this story, particularly for the people who were victimized by this guy. But as you said, when this coach was fired for this misconduct, the league was made aware of these things and they covered it up. So they're complicit in his behavior. I agree mostly with what you say, Garrick, about maybe of not shutting it down for the weekend. But I think that this is more than the problem of getting this coach fired. I think this is I think they were on the verge of a player revolt when they realized that you had multiple players that were victimized by the same guy and that the higher ups in the league were complicit in getting him another job and allowing more people to be victimized. So I think you have a loss of confidence amongst your entire membership of the league. And I think that there's some face saving that's going on. So I'm not sure if I agree with them shutting down, but I think that this is more about them covering their butts and saying, yeah, we actually do care about this. But when you already have a statement from the commissioner apologizing from her part in this, it's like, yeah, they all had a part in this and they all allowed this to go on and continue.
Players kind of revolting a bit. That brings me to our face-off question of the day. This story that I'm going to share, as you're listening, viewing, or reading, you tell me if you think it's cancel culture, good culture, or a little bit of both. A U.S.-born player for the Ukrainian Hockey League had an issue. He's a defenseman, Jalen Schmerich, and he wanted
Correct. I was just going to say that's correct. I looked up the pronunciation of his name.
Well, thank you very much, Encyclopedia Rich. Well, he wants a fellow player, Andrei Deniskin, to be removed from the league for making a racist gesture to him on Sunday. He basically said it's me or him. He said he's a big believer in standing up for what's right, has been putting a lot of thought into what's going to come next for his career. And he put on Instagram, as of right now, I've decided I will be taking a personal leave of absence from HC Donbas, and I will not play another game in the UHL until Andrei Deniskin is suspended and removed from the league. Cancel culture, culture, good culture, or a bit of both. It's our final shot. Stop it. It is our face-off.
The face-off.
Face-off! Bring it, guys. What do you think?
Somebody's got to take a stand. Jackie Robinson took a stand. Jesse Owens took a stand. Somebody's got to take a stand. And if the Ukrainian Hockey League is only now just looking into this and going through this thing, how long are they going to take to work on this?
So I think it's a case of they're not doing anything. So he's got to step in and doing something.
I think that's what his perception is.
I'm not talking about his perception though, Rich. I'm just talking about, you know, is it a cancel culture or good culture or a bit of both? Because you're saying, I want him out of the league. I want him suspended. And it's an awful lot like our culture where there is no room for growth, forgiveness, working with people, maybe giving him a fine, helping him to understand that that's not okay. It's like, nope, he's canceled. He's out. Done.
Well, let me respond.
You think it's a bit of both?
Go ahead, Matt, and then I'll.
I think it's both. I'm sorry, Rich. Yeah, I think it's both. You know, yeah, stand up for yourself. Absolutely, stand up for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. And he needs to stick to his guns. But now to say, well, this other person needs to be thrown out of the league because he said that. I don't think that's not necessary. That's way too far. Way too far to say, oh, you're thrown out of the league. I agree with you, Michelle. I think most of us out here do. Go to your counseling. Go to your anger management, whatever you got to do. Find the guy.
Yin-yang.
But to say you're out of the league, no.
Don't we have any room for growth, or is it just that you're done? You're done. If you don't think like, and it goes to a lighter subject, if you don't think like me, you're canceled. This is beyond that. This is heinous behavior. I get it. But is there any room for growth or forgiveness? We'll get back to you, Rich, but Josh, Garrick, Brent, thoughts?
Well, I definitely feel like these types of things need to be addressed. And it's very clear. But I also don't feel that the one who is offended gets to determine what the consequences are going to be. Just like Matt was saying, I mean, yeah, something needs to be done. And whether it's a fine or a suspension or that type of thing, it needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with seriously and swiftly.
What was the gesture? But
I didn't know.
That is not fully disclosed.
I think you made a comment about egg rolls or something.
I like my extra spicy sauce there, please.
What? Oh my giddy aunt. Come on. Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
I love you,
okay.
Rich. I love you, my brother. Denied. You are my brother. I love you.
Well,
sports timeout, a walk on the wild side.
Rich gets a timeout for that. All right.
Canceled.
Brent,
so,
Josh.
So I was just say I am on the trying to play both sides of it here. Now I do think there needs to be a response. There needs to be a severe one, but to demand that somebody be ejected from the league, unless they can show this has been like a repeated offense that they've tried to address over time, and he has not responded. If this is just like the first time they've seen this kind of behavior in this context, then I can't see just throwing him out and to demand that, you know, maybe he's going to get some attention and maybe there will be a response. But again, I'm going to
go with that. But, you know, he probably knew what he was doing and he did what he knew was probably wrong, but do we really know? And that's another part of the story that we see played out in the time that we're living in, is that I'm offended and you did this to me. But do you know that that was really his intent? And who gets to be the judge of that? Who gets to be the judge of what he intended? I could just be easily offended looking for racism and offense under any rock. And people do that. So you put someone down, they lose their job. What if it wasn't his intent? So it's an interesting thing as we face off. Anyone else want to weigh in before we move along and talk about just a few other things?
I was able to do some research and found out what he actually did. So in the second period of the game, he shouted at the other player who's black and then pantomimed unpeeling a banana and eating it.
Oh, that's disgusting.
He was ejected from the game, and the good. UHL announced disciplinary proceedings would be opened. So that's what happened.
Taken care of.
Okay.
Go ahead, Josh. Josh was going to say something.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if it's something that is a repeated behavior, something that is just keeps going on and on, that's when you look at ejection. I think with anything, you have to look at helping people first, realize we're individuals and, you know, we're people, and, you know, educate someone, give them a chance to be a better person, unless they're going out and doing something, you know, super harmful and rude every day, or if they're, you know, being outright violent to someone, sure. But I think that we have gotten a little quick to jump on the cancel train as of late here in our country. And I mean, that's kind of like why Shaq, he was a guy he said, I don't want to be a celebrity anymore. I reject my celebrity status because I think it's getting a little ridiculous. Look what celebrities do to people. Look how they treat people. So I see that as well. Now with, you know, hearing what he did exactly, that is a very not okay thing to do. It's ridiculous that he would do that.
And it was purposeful.
Taking on an issue like this.
Yeah, it was purposeful. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting. But and it looks as though the league took action as well. They absolutely should. Other soccer news quickly in the U.S. soccer MLS. New England, it seems unstoppable. They have 23 points to lead the Eastern Conference. The Seattle Sounders, finally found their mojo again against San Jose this last week. Yay, is leading the West with 19 points. But keep in mind, New England has a few games in hand. So top six teams of each conference will enter the playoffs beginning November 19th. The final cup will be December 11th. Here's something else interesting. Let's go over to England with soccer. Football. FIFA is hoping the British government kind of eases the quarantine requirements because players will not be able to travel, at least this was what was reported. English clubs will not be able to travel to coronavirus red list countries for September's internationals, which include Brazil, right? That was the news story then. Brazil has actually called up 8 flipping players from the EPL. So this really affects them. But just today, just to let people know, it was just reported that fully vaccinated players will be allowed to travel to red list countries during the international break and to train or play when they quarantine on return. But just like in basketball here with the NBA, no pay if unvaccinated players can't play. Again, folks, I mean, to me, this is kind of a ridiculous action, because if you're not vaccinated and you're quarantined for a couple of weeks, how is that different than someone who's vaccinated and quarantines for a couple of weeks?
It's a ridiculous double standard. It's hypocrisy. It's discrimination.
And you asked the right question, Michelle, because these things are all over the board, and Garrick's outlined it numerous times on this show about how all this just go. I mean, it's like we're opening up a Cracker Jack box, sticking our hand in there, hoping to get the prize. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed, Garrick.
I love that.
The prize wasn't all that either.
That's a
agreed, Garrick. Hey, Garrick, can I get a dozen or two dozen egg rolls tonight? That's what I want to know.
I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
Just don't ask me to do your laundry.
Extra spicy again.
And iron my pants.
Guys, we've got to move along.
Extra starch, boss. Extra starch.
Come on.
We've got to move along. I'm Hispanic, and I need my siesta coming out pretty soon.
This is what happens when the Wookiee overthrows the broadcast.
I believe. I believe. Go Mariners.
The inmates are officially running the asylum.
Go Mariners.
I don't think we're allowed to say asylum or inmates anymore.
Hey, oh, my gosh. Why not? That's you know, insane. Pretty soon it's just going to be silent, but
we've all been canceled.
Hey, guys, it is time for us to take our final shot. If there's anything we missed during the show or if there's something you want to call out, this is your time to broadcast it in a quick and succinct way. It's our final shot.
Final shot.
All right. Final shot. We're going to go with Rich Hallstrom.
Congratulations to the Seattle Kraken for a tremendous debut. They said they were going to put together a great franchise, and they've done it. They've done it. They're getting ready for the season. They've put the fans on notice that this is going to be a party. When they're showing up in Everett, Vancouver, all the Calgary, they even had a whole section of people wearing Kraken jerseys.
I know it.
So the Kraken are official. So the Kraken are officially here. And it is the best unveiling of a franchise since the Seahawks in 1976.
Wow, that is some.
And just a point of reference, the Seahawks lost their first preseason game to the San Francisco 49ers in 1976 on August 1st by a score of 27-20. So the Kraken got a win the first time out.
There you go. All right. We're going to go to Josh, and I don't think it's going to be any surprise what his final shot is going to be.
Go Mariners.
Go Mariners, absolutely. If I'm going to give it out to one guy, I'm going to shout out again to Tyler Anderson, man. This is a guy who's not been with the team long. Remember, we acquired him at the trade deadline, and he's on a contract year. He's not under contract with the Seahawks next year. This is coming towards the end of the season.
The Seahawks are interested in him?
Yeah, right. I mean, the fact, though, that he's willing to, like, put himself out there, it's like, yes, I'll go on 2 days rest. I'll help this team that I haven't known very long. The fact that he's invested enough to put his, you know, his health on the line in that case and potentially his career in a big contract. I mean, shout out to him, man. It would be really easy not to be invested enough to say, like, nah, got to look out for me and my own. But he wants to help these guys get through. I love it. Shout out to him. I hope he's with the Mariners past this year because I love what I've seen from him.
Got you. All right. Let's do it. It's time to get pinged here.
So I want to give my final shot in light of these recent allegations in women's soccer. An old friend, someone that I got to know during my time as a chaplain with the Sounders, just an amazing lady. Her name is Amy Carnell. Some of you might be familiar with her. She was the GM of the Sounders women and the Rain as well. But she actually is an abuse survivor. When she was a youth player, one of her coaches abused her, and she courageously, just in the last few years, came out and shared this traumatic experience in order to help bring this issue to the forefront of the limelight, because it needed light for exposure so that it could be addressed and dealt with. And I'm glad that for Amy, and it's been incredibly traumatic and painful, because there's this secondary trauma. I think they refer to it as when you address these issues. And she is just an amazing, courageous person. And so my final shot goes to Amy Carnell.
There you go. Absolutely. Love to hear it. All right, let's do this. It's time to go to the Man of Steel, Matt Peel.
I'm going to go again from last week to the U.S. Ryder Cup team for their smashing and absolute destruction of Europe this weekend. The crowds were amazing. They were rowdy. They were loud. They were raucous. And it was a great venue for golf.
There you go. There you go. And of course, we're going to top it off with Brent Baker.
So I'll go back to the Seattle Mariners, especially because they're becoming a national story. And this is a guy who should be, his story needs to be known at the national level. And that is Mitch Haniger, who's come back after missing 2 years from about as traumatic an injury as you can have if you're a guy.
We don't talk about what that injury is.
We don't have to tell what it was.
We don't need to go there. Thinking about it.
If you're a guy, it was horrific. I mean, it's, you know, you've seen things like Joe Theismann and Alex Smith and their horrifically broken legs in football. And what Mitch had arguably is worse. And yet he's come back from that. People wondered if he would be able to match what he was before as a player. And then if he was good enough, could the Mariners trade him during the season? And he's like established himself as a cornerstone, should be a shoe-in for the American League comeback player of the year with 35 home runs, almost 100 runs batted in, should be someone who's known as one of the premier outfielders in the American League defensively as well. And just the fact that he's able to come back and be more of a player than he was before and be able to enjoy this playoff run to the end with these guys. So shout out to him.
I like it. Well, I want to give my final shot to Tim Tebow. Did you guys know he is on a winning team today? That's right. The team is Samaritan's Purse. It's Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse does humanitarian work. It's headed by the Billy Graham Association, and they recently delivered several tons worth of relief items to Afghanistan in support of refugees and evacuees that are fleeing the Taliban. They deployed a DC-8 cargo jet to the region, loaded it up with medical kits, hygiene kits, food, comfort items, things for kids. These people have nothing. Protocol changed, and evacuees weren't even allowed to bring a suitcase when they left. They have nothing. Tebow tweeted, "We've been heartbroken over the crisis in Afghanistan. The loss of our brave servicemen and women and the loss of so many other precious lives." He said, "There's suffering around the world, and we ask that you join with us in prayer. Pray for the Afghanistan people, the country, the evacuees, the families who've lost so much." And that includes people in Louisiana, there you go, Matt, Mississippi, Haiti in the flooding, Tennessee, the fires out west, people dealing with the loss of people they love through COVID and through vaccinations. And there's just so much. And he says, you know what? Prayer makes a difference. And you know what? I say you're right. And that, to me, is the God story. That's the bigger game. And that's the game I want to win in. Thank you, fellas, for joining me today. This has been a blast, as it always is with you guys. Always is. As you watch, listen, or read My Michelle Live, remember you can go to our homepage, click on the links for our sponsors, and like us, share us, comment. It all makes a difference in getting that story out there. Thanks for joining us today, guys. Always love y'all. Now they're quiet. What the
heck? Go Mariners.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.